The Bible tells us that grace of Jesus Christ is sufficient. He is enough.
I see so much in me that I just can't get right. Things that weigh me down each day and steal my sleep at night. In your word I read about a peace I wish I felt. How can you forgive me when I can't forgive myself?
It was enough,
the blood that you shed. To set me free, it was enough that you died for me. He said, child, you know it hurts me so to see you struggle on, striving to be good enough till all your strength is gone. You're worn out by the fear that you'll go just one sin too far. Don't you know that only I could make you what you are?
It was enough,
the blood that I shed. It was enough that I rose from the dead.
It was enough.
Is there more I could do? It was enough.
It was enough.
The life that I gave. It was enough that I conquered the grave.
It was enough
that I paid for your sin. It was enough. The blood that I shed, it was enough that I rose from the dead.
It was enough.
Nothing more I could do. It was enough that I died for you.
More often and let her sing. I praise the Lord for that, for all that good singing tonight. Ed, I appreciate you. I love you so much. Thank you, brother, for wearing a tie tonight. The rest of this staff has just gone to pot. The pastor looks like a bum. The minister of music looks like a bum. Brother, thank you. I appreciate it. Next time, could you wear some dress pants with your outfit? But from the waist up, you're okay, brother. From the neck down and the waist up, you're all right. Praise the Lord for this crowd tonight. Good crowd. You look good, you sound good, you act good. You just act like you're ready for God to do something. You know, you got to come expecting God to do something or He won't do anything. Not in your life, anyway. This pastor over here, I know you. I've met you somewhere, hadn't I? Yeah, okay, good. I knew I'd seen him somewhere. I said, either that or somebody looks just like him, and I know that ain't possible. God wouldn't do that to us, I know. So, I'm glad, brother. You know, it amazes me how we come to church, especially on Sunday mornings. You got maybe 4 or 5 kids in one bathroom, and everybody's trying to get ready for church. Some of y'all laughing like you know what I'm talking about. If you got a teenage daughter, it makes it twice as hard to get ready. Got a lot of amens on that one. And you just fussing at everybody, get ready, come on, let's go, let's get ready. And you get out in the car and you're driving down the road saying, shut up, I said shut up, get away from your sister, get on, get away, sit down, shut up. You're driving along. You get over in the parking lot and you pull up and you get out and you say, come on, let's get over here, come on, you get over here. Oh, hi, it's so good to see you today. It's nice to be here, praise God. Yeah, we're so glad to be here. You take the kids over to Sunday school and say, now get in there and I'll come back and get you later. Go into Sunday school class, struggle through that, it's over. You get in, sit on the back row of the church. You say, all right, preacher, now bless me. Ain't going to do you any good. You're not going to get things. You've got your spiritual umbrella up, and anything God wanted to hit you with just roll off, and you wouldn't be able to get a thing out of it. Listen, when you get up on Sunday morning, you turn the TV on to some preacher that knows what he's talking about, or you turn the stereo on with some music that know what they're talking about, and be careful who you listen to. Check them out. Don't just listen to anybody because they say Jesus. Be careful who you listen to. Or if you can't do either one of those, just go around singing about Jesus. On the way to church, sing songs about Jesus. Then when you get there, you won't have to fake it going across the parking lot. And you'll come in, you'll get something out of your Sunday school class, first time in 10 years. And you'll go in and you might not even sit on the back row. And you'll get in there and you'll get something out of what happens. And the preacher's message can bless you. And the singing can bless you because you've come saying, God, I want something from you in my life today. And you're expecting God to do something. All right? So expect Him to. Did you come expecting God to do something tonight? Yeah. Amen. I really did, preacher. I can hardly wait. He's filled my heart with joy already. You ever seen a Baptist shout? It's... I love Baptist shout. I've learned a new one. I've learned the California shout. Oh, wow, man. The California amen is really. Folks, listen, if you're going to shout, don't waste it. Put all you got into it. Just praise God. Don't be afraid what anybody's going to think. If you got something to shout about it. Now listen, if you ain't got nothing to shout about, keep your mouth shut. You're shouting on credit. Only when you got something to shout about, all right? When you know that God's working in your life and your life's in tune with His will, you just take off and go to shout. God's going to do great things. Tomorrow night, you be here and bring every teenager you can. I'm going to be talking about the relationship of Christ in teenagers' lives, but I'll be talking about the relationship of Christ in adult lives as well. And adults, shame on you if you stay away tomorrow night because we're emphasizing you. And also, even double shame on you if you come here thinking, oh, I want God to do something in those precious little lives. You better come expecting God to do something in yours. Let those teenagers take care of their own lives. You come expecting God to do something in your life. I never have preached a message strictly to teenagers when I've got adults present. I'll preach a message that will be aimed at them and you. All right? Because I don't believe God has to specialize in the service. I think God can preach a message that'll hit everybody. So we're doing that tomorrow night. Okay? So you come. But I want you to know, if you've got any teenagers that are having problems with drugs, you get them here. Any that are even thinking about drugs, any that know how to spell drug, get them here. Get them here tomorrow night. I'll be sharing tomorrow night a story that the Lord gave me that happened in my life that is not directly anything that happened to me, but it happened to some friends of mine that I saw it take place. And I'll be sharing it. It's a true story. It's one that will not be pleasing to you, but I'll guarantee you it'll touch hearts and it'll make people wake up to what drugs can do in their lives. I've shared this in over 400 high schools in America, and every time I've shared it, it has not failed, without fail, every time. Somebody, at least one teenager, has come up to me afterwards, shook my hand, and I could feel something in their hand, and I'd just take it, stick it in my pocket. And I'd go out later and look at it, and it'd be some form of drugs, either grass or pills of some kind, but it'd be something there. And God just touched their hearts, and they realized then that the drug scene was not for them. It has never failed. It's happened every time. In Bullock County, Georgia, a little town called Brooklet, Georgia, population of 300. We had a crusade there on the football field. Had 375 got saved that week. In a population of 300. Now you figure that one out, but people were driving for 20 miles, bringing busloads of people. And at the end of that week, the young people had turned in all the drugs that they could turn in because God had touched their lives and Jesus had saved them. And I didn't tell anybody about it till the end of the week, and I got the sheriff to get in on it with me because I didn't want anybody arresting me for holding. And I had the sheriff come down there, and he brought three deputies with him. And we brought a folding table out on the football field from inside the cafeteria. And we laid it out in front of those adults. And I laid out over $7,000 worth of drugs on that table in that little town of 300 people. And those mamas and daddies looked at that and they thought, my, how horrible, all those drugs. And I said, mamas and daddies, do you know where I got it? I said, I got it from your kids. And it scared them to death. But that's where it came from. It didn't come from the kids down the street. It didn't come from the kids in the neighboring town that had 17,000 in it. It came from the kids in that little country town. The drugs are there right under your nose, folks. And we got to reach these kids. Now, the answer is not to take all the drugs away from them. The answer is to change their heart so that they don't need the drugs anymore. They need Jesus. We get them hooked on Jesus that nothing else will satisfy. Folks, they'll laugh in the face of drugs when they find out what Jesus has to offer. So we got to offer them that. People wanting to do things the opposite. They want to clean things up by getting rid of things. You can't get rid of things. Fast as you get rid of things, Satan come up with another thing. That's his job. He's the thing master. And he comes up with things all the time for you. Change hearts, folks. Change hearts. And things won't matter. Nobody will sell drugs if there's nobody to buy them. Nobody will buy drugs if there's nobody to sell them. So let's win people to Jesus, and that will change things. All right? Well, that's not the sermon. I just want to throw that out for you in connection with tomorrow night service. Now, I remind you about Dennis and Sharon George's record out there. I know most of you have that record from the last time they were here, but some of you are new, and you don't have that record. And let me tell you something. I recommend that you buy that record. It's not so they can make a profit off you. It's so you can contribute to their ministry. That's one area of it. But also so you can take them home with you. And I got news for you. It's cheaper to buy that record and take them home than it is to take them home with you. Because I've seen them eat. And the record don't eat. But friends, I recommend taking things like that home with you and putting them on the stereo. And see, ladies, you could clean house with Dennis and Sharon and the boys singing for you. And you could just get ready for Sunday morning services with that music going in the background. And you could be ministered to constantly. The Bible says, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And that means we're to let our mind dwell on the things of Christ. And one way of doing that is to play those records. So get that record if you have not got it. Get it tonight. All right? Now, I wouldn't lead you wrong. I just recommend that you do it. And then our tapes are out there. If you want them, that's fine. Somebody asked me one question I need to clear up. They said, do I have to buy anything to get on your tape of the month where you send a message a month to the people on your list? I said, no. You don't buy a thing. Just write your name down out there or print it. Please don't write. Some of you write like I do. Please don't write. You'll never see that tape if you write out there, because I won't know where in the world to send it or who to send it to. Print your name and address and just put a little X out on that last block on the right, and we'll send you a tape of the month. And if you want to send something back, you can. If you don't, that's all right. I just want to get the tape in your hands, all right? So that's the answer to that question. Now, everybody, did we have you shake the Bible at the devil last night? Make up your mind. Did we or didn't we? We did? What a crowd. Half of them saying no, half saying yeah. Get them up. Shake them at the devil. Now put them down. Now get them up. Shake them at the devil. That's just in case that other half was right. Turn to Genesis. Old Testament. Chapter 24. Genesis chapter 24. I got to get something straight before I go any further. Are you from Riverside, or did I just meet you in Riverside? Do you pastor there now? Okay, you're up here now. Okay. Now I can say this. I had to make sure you weren't pastoring down there. I'll tell you why in a second. Well, you'll see why. I pastor in Ontario, California. It's about 15 miles outside of Riverside. If any of you've got any relatives or any friends in Riverside, Ontario, Chino, Upland, Rancho Cucamonga, any of those places like that, that you want us to visit and talk to and tell about Jesus, you write it down on an index card and put your name so I can tell them who I met up here that knows them. And you give it to me before we leave. And I'll guarantee you they'll get visited and they'll be told about Jesus. All right? I just want to let you know that. And if he was pastoring in Riverside, I was going to say everybody in Riverside, you give them to him tonight before you leave. But since you ain't there no more, give me every one of them. All right? And I'll go after them. That's all right to do that, wasn't it, preacher? Because I want to reach everybody we can, and I know you do too. And they couldn't commute all the way up here anyway. I would if I wasn't pastoring, just to be under your ministry. I love this man and appreciate him. Well, let's look at Genesis chapter 24. Going to read a lot tonight, so stay with me. Hang in there with me, but I got to read a lot to lay the foundation. And Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house that ruled over all that he had, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh. And I'll make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites, among whom I dwell. But thou shalt go unto my country and to my kindred, and take a wife unto my son Isaac. And the servant said unto him, peradventure the woman will not be willing to follow me unto this land. Must I needs bring thy son again unto the land from which thou camest? And Abraham said unto him, beware thou that thou bring not my son thither again. The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me, and that sware unto me, saying, unto thy seed will I give this land, he shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. And if the woman will not be willing to follow thee, then thou shalt be clear from this my oath, only bring not my son thither again. And the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham his master and swear to him concerning that matter. Now that was their way of promising an oath or a pledge to each other. And the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master and departed, for all the goods of his master were in his hand. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia unto the city of Nahor. And he made his camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water at the time of the evening, even the time that women go out to draw water. And he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee send me good speed this day and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink. And she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. And thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master. And it came to pass before he'd done speaking that, behold, Rebekah came out, who was born to Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder. And the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin. Neither had any man known her. And she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up. And the servant ran to meet her and said, "Let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher." And she said, "Drink, my lord." And she hasted and let her pitcher down, let down her pitcher upon her hand and gave him drink. And when she'd done giving him drink, she said, "I will draw water for thy camels also until they've done drinking." And she hasted and emptied her pitcher into the trough and ran again unto the well to draw water and drew for all his camels. And the man wondering at her held his peace to wit whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. And it came to pass as the camels had done drinking that the man took a golden earring of a half shekel weight and two bracelets for her hands of 10 shekels weight of gold. And said, "Whose daughter art thou? Tell me, I pray thee, is there room in thy father's house for us to lodge in?" And she said unto him, "I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, which she bare unto Nahor." She said moreover unto him, "We have both straw and provender enough, and room to lodge in." And the man bowed down his head and worshipped the Lord. And he said, "Blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. I being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren." And the damsel ran and told them of her mother's house these things. And Rebekah had a brother, and his name was Laban. And Laban ran out unto the man under the well. And it came to pass when he saw the earring and bracelets upon his sister's hands, and when he heard the words of Rebekah his sister, saying, "Thus spake the man unto me." And that's King James language for saying she told him the whole story. "That he came unto the man, and behold, he stood by the camels at the well. And he said, 'Come in, thou blessed of the Lord, wherefore standest thou without? For I have prepared the house and room for the camels.' And the man came into the house, and he ungirded his camels, and gave straw and provender for the camels, and water to wash his feet, and the men's feet that were with him. And there was set meat before him to eat. But he said, 'I'll not eat until I have told mine errand.' And he said, 'Speak on.' And he told them what I've just read to you." Okay? Now let's switch on over to verse 49. "And now if you will deal kindly and truly with my master, tell me. And if not, tell me, that I may turn to the right hand or to the left." And then Laban and Bethuel answered and said, "The thing proceedeth from the Lord. We cannot speak unto thee, bad or good. Behold, Rebekah's before thee. Take her, and go, and let her be thy master's son's wife, as the Lord has spoken." And it came to pass that when Abraham's servant heard their words, he worshipped the Lord, bowing himself to the earth. And the servant brought forth jewels of silver, and jewels of gold, and raiment, and gave them to Rebekah. He gave also to her brother and to her mother precious things. And they did eat and drink, he and the men that were with him, and tarried all night. And they rose up in the morning, and he said, "Send me away unto my master." And her brother and her mother said, "Let the damsel abide with us a few days, at the least 10. After that she shall go." And he said unto them, "Hinder me not, seeing the Lord hath prospered my way. Send me away, that I may go to my master." And they said, "We'll call the damsel," and inquired her mouth. And they called Rebekah and said unto her, "Wilt thou go with this man?" And she said, "I will go." And they sent away Rebekah their sister and her nurse and Abraham's servant and his men. And they blessed Rebekah and said unto her, "Thou art our sister. Be thou the mother of thousands of millions, and let thy seed possess the gate of those which hate them." And Rebekah arose and her damsels, and they rode upon the camels and followed the man. And the servant took Rebekah and went his way. And Isaac came from the way of the well Lehorah, for he dwelt in the south country. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the eventide. And he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel. Now, you Baptists looking for an excuse to sin, don't think that means she smoked a cigarette, all right? Just because she lighted off a camel. That don't mean that. "For she had said unto the servant, 'What man is this that walketh in the field to meet us?' And thy servant had said, 'It is my master,'" or the servant, "'It's my master.' Therefore, she took a veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all things that he'd done. And Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent, and took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. And Isaac was comforted after his mother's death." Father, in Jesus' name, we want to see Jesus tonight. Take this Old Testament passage, this great historical account of what happened in the life of Abraham and Isaac and Rebekah, and show us Jesus. For Lord, we're aware that you didn't let things happen in these Old Testament folks' lives without meaning it to point the way to Jesus. I'm glad this is not just a history book, but I'm glad that's just one facet of the Old Testament. But I'm glad it's a book that is alive and full of truth and full of Jesus. And I want you to take it and show these people Jesus. Let them, if there's anybody here tonight who's not really understood the Old Testament and how Jesus lives in that Old Testament, I pray tonight they'll get excited about studying all of your Word. And about searching that Old Testament and digging out Jesus. And Lord, the people here tonight that are lost, I trust they wouldn't be able to leave here tonight without getting saved. Some of them came here tonight because a friend invited them, and they came in order to appease that friend, in order to make the friend feel okay, and because they felt obligated. They didn't realize, Lord, that you do not let anything happen by accident, and you've got them here by divine appointment, and you want them here to hear the gospel. And you've got them here because you want them to get saved. Some of them came tonight expecting to go home just like they came, but they're going to go out of here a whole lot different than when they came in. They'll go out of here born again with a new purpose in their lives, with new meaning in their lives, and with someone on board who is not only resident but president of their lives, who's come to take over and make something good out of their lives. For Christians here tonight, I pray you'd encourage them. And I pray you'd give them words of comfort and assurance that you have control of their lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I love the Old Testament. You didn't know that, did you? I love typology. Know what that is? That's simply something in the Old Testament that's a symbol or type of something that's to come later. Either Jesus or the church or the Holy Spirit or some relationship in your Christian walk. Something in the Old Testament that's a type of something that will come later. And that Old Testament is full of just those very things. And there's no exception here. Here we have the entire plan of salvation, the entire walk through the Christian life, until you get to glory, all wrapped up in one chapter in the Old Testament. And I want to share it with you tonight. Now, I've done some skinning this week. Had somebody come to me the other night and said, "You just skinned my hide." And I said, "Well, praise the Lord. That's what you needed. That's what we'll do." Bill Stafford says, "I've come to comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable." So maybe that's what we're supposed to do. But I want you folks to know that God also can preach through me messages of encouragement to you. Because I want to encourage some of you tonight. But I hope also the Lord will do whatever it takes in your heart to make you different than when you came in here. It's in a last revival I was in, as a matter of fact, a deacon got mad at me. Now let me say something first. This church got the most unusual bunch of deacons I've ever seen in my life. Y'all take away all the fun. Because all I can do is kid these guys. Usually I kid deacons and I'm really striking home with some things, you know. Really hitting some people where it hurts. This bunch of deacons here, they're the weirdest bunch I've ever seen in all my life. They ain't got no more sense than to love Jesus. And I just found out last night this man's chairman of deacons. Listen, last night I talked about naming one of my golf balls after the chairman of deacons, and I could get long drives like that. You know what I told him when I found out he was chairman? I'm going to name all my putts after him. Because they're delicate and just barely touch them. I appreciate these deacons. But I want you folks to know every church ain't got a bunch like this. I want you to know I hadn't found any church that's got a bunch like this. In fact, I want to attend a deacon's meeting here, and I want one of you to do something wrong. Because I don't believe anybody's that perfect. There's got to be something. Maybe one of them don't use deodorant or something, but there's got to be something wrong somewhere. That's a weird bunch. But I preached this last revival I preached in Riverside. Won't tell you what church, but in Riverside. One of the deacons got mad at something I said and argued with me in the service. I mean, right out, just argue with it. Of course, I told him what I told Dennis tonight. I said, hey, you got a right to be wrong if you want to. This is what the Word of God says. Now, I know sometimes you folks don't think I got any tact. That wasn't supposed to be that funny. But I just told him that. You know, I said, that's what the Word says. Now, you choose between what you think or what the Word says. But, brother, I'm going to listen to the Word because Jesus died for me. You didn't. And you wouldn't if you had the chance. But, folks, I want you to know I appreciate these deacons because they don't argue with nothing. They just come up and say, hey, let us have it again tonight. Praise God. We're just having a glorious time. Young people, you want to find out what it's like to be a Christian and you want a good example to follow, pick out one of these deacons. Pick out one of these deacons and go up to him and say, the Lord's laid you on my heart and told me to watch you and told me that if I wanted to know how to walk with Jesus, I need to watch you and learn how. Now, deacons, don't you look at me like, no, don't do that. It's time for you to back up what this preacher's been saying. Let him pick you out. And then you just keep on loving Jesus. And you'll just disciple some young people in this church. Wouldn't that be great to do that? Be a glorious thing. And I just thank God that there's a church where you can find deacons that'll do that. I don't know what my point was. I've got so carried away with talking about deacons. That's the first time this week I've got off on something and didn't know where I was headed with it. Yeah, he's wanting me to keep on. He likes that. I just found out one of the problems, no humility. Whatever God wants to do in your life, though, and in that man's life, he needed to hear, that deacon needed to hear what I was saying. So even in sermons, and that was a sermon of encouragement I was preaching that night. But you never can tell. See, God's going to make you hear whatever you need to hear tonight that's going to change you. All I ask you to do is have a teachable spirit. So right now, just every one of you in your heart, you don't have to close your eyes or anything, just in your heart, say, Lord, give me a teachable spirit tonight. Teach me what you want me to see. All right, now, let's go in the Old Testament. Let's look for Jesus, all right? We got Abraham. He's the father. He's the father of all those millions that are going to come up. God promised him he would be the father. Now he's got that son Isaac that we talked about the other night that he had to have faith to believe God for. And now that son Isaac's old enough to marry. And young people, you know what they did then? They picked out the bride for the groom. Ed, you wouldn't have had a choice. They go pick out the bride and they bring her there and they say, this is who you're going to marry. And they don't have any choice about it. The parents decide that. Now, I don't know about you folks, but I'm kind of glad we don't do that. I think I got good taste. And I'm not so sure my parents would have had the same taste I did. And I'm just grateful that we get to do that today. But I realize that some of you who are at the ripe old age of 15, think you're intelligent enough to know who that mate is. You ain't nowhere near there yet, folks. So just be patient, all right? Calm down. I know you think she's the greatest thing that's ever lived, and I know she thinks you're the greatest thing that ever lived, but have no fear, she'll find out the truth before it's over. All right? And y'all will go through all these things and you'll find out that what you thought was love was merely infatuation. And as you grow in the Lord, you'll learn what real love's all about.
All right. But now Abraham called his servant and he said, I want you to go back to my homeland where we came from. And I want you to pick out a bride for my son. And I want you to bring that bride here to my son. The servant said, well, what if she won't come? Should I come back and get the son and Isaac and take him back? He said, oh, no, don't do that. You get the bride and bring her here. And if she won't follow you, you're through with your obligation. You're not obligated to me anymore. But if she'll follow you, you bring her here. Now, Abraham's a father. Well, that's good. Let's remember that. We got a father. All right? Now, we got Isaac. What's he? He's a son. That's pretty good. We got a father and we got a son. Any of y'all catching on to typology yet? What have we got here? We got a father. Who does Abraham represent? Okay, who does Isaac represent? Y'all are good. Abraham the father represents God the father. Isaac the son represents Jesus the son. Now we got a servant. Who's he represent? Holy Spirit. We got two, we might as well have a third, right? Because that's what the Bible teaches us. Now, quickly, don't look back down. In that chapter, what's the servant's name? Quickly, somebody tell me. Tell me what his name is. Oh, what? It doesn't say. Well, I wonder why. Well, let me just tell you why. His name is not mentioned here because his mission is what's important, not his name. And his mission is to go find a bride. For Isaac, not for himself. And Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit comes, He'll not tell you of things of Himself, but He'll tell you of things of Me. And that's why the servant has no name here. Now, he has a name, but his name's not used here, because his mission is what's important. Not who he is, but his mission. Now, what's his mission? We got a father, we got a son, we got a Holy Spirit, or servant. And the servant's mission is to go find a bride for the son. Under the orders of the Father. Now we got a fourth character. What's that character's name? Rebecca. She is a bride. She represents you, the church. And the Holy Spirit's job is to come back here to the land and find a bride for the Son and find one who's willing to follow and take that bride to the Son. See that? See the typology in it? Isn't that beautiful? I love that. That gets exciting when you talk about that. Now, let's see how he does it. He goes down to the town where he goes back, where Abraham's from, and he goes to the well. Now, I wonder why he goes to the well. Because there's where the young daughters come to draw water. It was a custom. Every evening, the young daughters in the family's job was to go down and draw water at the well and bring it to the house to use. That was just their job. They did it. They didn't nag. They didn't say, oh, mama. They just did it. Because that was their job. Now, I think that's pretty smart of that servant to go down where the best candidates are. He didn't go off fishing somewhere. He didn't go off way off at the edge of town somewhere. He went down where the candidates were. Now, if we're going to find folks who make up the bride of Christ, and that's new folks to get saved, if we're going to find new folks to come into the family all the time, best thing I know to do is go where they are. You can't expect them to be off somewhere else. You've got to find out where they are and go to them. And that's what he did. Gave us a good lesson right there, didn't he? So he goes down and he says, now, Lord, the first one I ask to let me have some water and to water my camels also, let her be the one. Now, that was the deal he made with the Lord, right? The first one I ask to let me have some water and to water my camels also, she is the one. Rebecca comes walking out. About before he gets done praying, Rebecca comes walking out. He sees Rebecca and thinks, pretty good one there. Went up to her and he said, pardon me, could I have some water? She said, sure you can. You most certainly can. She'd already drawn water. She got it down. She said, here, and she poured him some water. Now that's halfway there, right? But he said, the one who offers to water my camels also. She said, not only that, I'll water your camels also. Tag, you're it. She's the one. Now, there's an important lesson for us there. You say, Brother Barrett, if I'm thinking about typology the way you're taking us, you're fixing to talk about salvation by works, because she had to work. She had to do something. Oh, no. He didn't say the first one to water my camels. He said the first one to offer to water my camels. But you know what God's looking for? In salvation, God's looking for people who will come and say yes to Him and be willing to serve Him. God's not wanting a bunch of people that'll say yes and then go out and run their own lives. He's wanting people who'll come down and give themselves to a holy God and say, "All right, here I am. I want to serve you." So she says, "Sure, you can have some water, and I'll give water to your camels also." And she watered every one of those camels. And the servant took out an earring and two bracelets and handed it to her. And she said, "That ain't bad. All I did was water them old smelly camels. Look here what I got. Ain't that pretty?" She felt that earring. She looked at them bracelets. Sun hit them just right. Man, they'd sparkle. She said, "That ain't bad. I like this." "What's that, Brother Barry?" "Oh, that's just God's blessings in your life. See, when you're willing to serve Him, He begins to bless you." And God blessed her, and she liked it. Don't tell me, "I don't expect God to bless me. I'm just willing to serve Him." Don't hand me that garbage. God promised He'd bless you, and you expect Him to. If you don't expect Him to, you're missing out. Listen, God won't withhold any good thing from you. God wants to pour out blessings on you. They got back to the house, and the brother come out and said, "What's going on?" She said, "Look here. I want you to look what I got. Look at these bracelets. Look at that earring right there. All I did was water that man's camels right there. I want you to look. Go ask him if you don't believe it." Brother went over and asked him. He said, "Sure, that's what happened." He said, "Let me tell you my story." And they went inside and sat down, and he told the whole family the story. He said, "Rebecca's the one I want." And the family said, "Oh, sure, we'll let Rebecca go. She can go back and be Isaac's wife. Sure, let's all take a good night's rest and send you off in the morning, okay." So they all ate, and they had a good time, and they went to bed, and they rested that night. The next morning, the servant got up and said, "Hey, let me go now." And they changed their minds. They said, "Oh, no, let her stay a while longer. Let her stay a while longer. We love her, and we don't want her to go right now. Let her stay at least 10 days. Isn't that what it said? What we just read? "Let her stay at least 10 more days. And the servant said, "No, we're not hanging around. We got to go. This train don't park nowhere. It's just constantly on the move. We got to go. We got to take off." And they said, "Well, we'll just ask Rebecca about that." And then what they said? "We'll inquire of the damsel." That's King James for "we'll check it out with Rebecca." So they said, "Rebecca, honey, come here." And Rebecca came in. They said, "Now, baby, we love you. We've raised you all these years. We've treated you the very best way we know how. And this man here says that he wants to take you off today. Now, we want you to go, but we want you to stay around about 10 more days because we're going to miss you, and we know we'll never see you again. So, baby, we just want to have you 10 more days to enjoy you. It's kind of a surprise on us at this last minute notice stuff like this. So you tell that man right there that you want to stay with the people that love you so much. Go ahead and tell him. Tell him. Just speak right up and tell him." Rebecca looked at her mama and her brother and all them folks. She looked at them bracelets, felt that earring. She said, "I believe I'll go with him." And took off! Now, when I got saved, when I met Jesus on April 18th, 1965, I was the number one rock disc jockey in North Georgia for 3 years in a row. I owned my own rock band. I produced rock records. I promoted every rock concert that came into that area. I helped promote the Beatles rock concert when they were their first concert in Atlanta, when they came here for their first American tour. I did all those things. And when I got saved, my friends said, "No, no, a little while longer. You're at the prime of your life right now. You're at the best times, man. You've got it made. Everything's going for you. You can name your price in this area. Don't go back on it now. Just hang around a little bit longer." And I looked at all that my friends had to offer, and I looked at all that radio had to offer. I looked at all that rock band and those concerts had to offer. And then I looked to Jesus and what He offered me the day before when I met Him and gave Him my life. And I said, "Adios! I'm gone!" And I took off. I don't want to stay around. I want to start my journey to go be with the bridegroom. And the Bible says they put her on a camel and she took off. Now that's important. A camel. You say, Brother Barry, you make this typology, you take it seriously, don't you? I sure do. Everything in there has got to mean something. And she got on a camel. Anybody here ever rode a camel? Would you raise your hand? Yep. For you folks who are less fortunate in life, let me explain to you that a camel ride's one of the roughest rides man's ever known. Isn't it terrible, Pastor? There ain't no shock absorbers on a camel. Alongside of him and pull out another bracelet and reach over and hand it to her. She'll look at that thing and say, well, this ain't so bad after all. I believe I can handle that. Just when life gets the roughest, God knows when you need a special blessing. And He'll slip you one. And it don't seem so bad after all. I was pastoring, last church I pastored before this one. I'd had a particularly rough time with deacons. Now, fellas, you can't relate to this. Church, you can't relate to this. Unless you're a transplant from one of them churches that's got a bunch of deacons, that's a board of deacons. And I want you to know they are bored to death. And they run the church. And they run every preacher off after 2 years when they find out he don't gee and haw just like he ought to. And I'd had a run-in with those deacons on that Sunday. And it was the roughest run-in I'd had yet. And I got to the office on Monday as mad as I could get. And I went walking in there. And you had to walk through the secretary's office to get to my office. And I went walking through there. And I stopped at her desk and I said, don't you ring that phone. Don't you let me talk to anybody. Don't bother me for nothing. I don't want to speak to nobody. I went over to my office, took that door and went, wham! Sat down and went to telling God. Boy, I read God the Riot Act. I said, why you got me here in this place? I can't figure it out. I don't like it at all. I can't stand these deacons. They can't stand me. I don't like to even face them. I don't like it at all. God, you're going to have to either move me out of here or kill them. I can't stand it. By that time, the phone rang. I said, boy, she better tell them I ain't in. After a while, I heard a knock on my door. Real timid little knock. I didn't say nothing. I saw the door crack open. Saw this nose come through. She said, Brother Barry. I said, what? She said, I think you better take this call. I said, I told you I didn't want any call. And when I tell you I don't want any calls, I don't want any calls. Now, I know y'all thought I was nice. You're learning a side of me you didn't know was there. She said, but Brother Barry, I believe you ought to take this call. I said, who is it? She said, Daisy Key. I said, what in the world do I want to talk to Daisy Key for? One of the elderly ladies in our church. I said, what I want to talk to her for? She said, just take the call. I said, if this call ain't worth it, you're fired. I picked up that phone. I said, what do you want, Daisy? She said, preacher, I just want to let you know that I think you're the greatest preacher that ever lived. She said, yesterday morning's sermon was so good, I got a tape of it. And I took it home and I've listened to it 5 more times. She said, I just got off my knees a while ago from listening to it again. And God laid on my heart something that I hadn't heard the other times. And I got on my knees by my bed and confessed it to God. And I just want you to know I'll never be the same. And you're the greatest preacher that's ever lived. And I want to thank God that you're my pastor. I said, this ain't so bad after all, is it? Woo, like that. Hallelujah. I opened that door and told my secretary, I said, call him 3 deacons. Just give me 3 deacons up here and get them up here in 5 minutes. I want to go around or 2 with them.
I feel like I can do it. Right when you need it the most, God will dump a blessing in your lap. Now, that servant didn't throw earrings and bracelets on Rebecca all the way. She'd got tired of them and weighted down. He just gave her one every time she needed one. See, if God dumped things on you all the time, you'd take Him for granted. But just right when your life needs a special touch from God, He just comes through and says, "Hey, you ain't in this alone. I'm here with you. And I'm doing something in your life. And I've got all the goods of the Father in my hand." You know what it said about that servant? "I got all the goods of the Father in my hand. And everything you need, I'm going to give it to you." That's what I like about it. He might have put us on a camel, but He provided everything we'll need to get there. Don't tell me you're lacking for anything. Everything you'll need to make it to where the Son is, it's provided for you. Because it's in the Holy Spirit's hands, and He has everything that the Father has in His hands. And He just wants to give it to you as you need it. Isn't that glorious? Or they're riding along and all of a sudden they look and Isaac's not at his house. He's out in the field. He's come a distance from his house and he's out in the field meditating. You know what meditation is? Prayer. The Bible says that while we're on our journey, the Son sits at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us. And I'm glad Isaac didn't wait at the house or wait at the tent. He came out. And he came out and met them somewhere in between. That's the way it's going to be with Jesus, see. In the rapture, the Holy Spirit's just going to take us to meet Jesus, who's waiting for us in between home and here, and going to meet us in the air. And the Bible says Isaac was out there in the field meditating. He looked up and he saw the camels coming. I believe with all my heart that that's about the time it is now. I believe Jesus can look and see the camels coming. They're on the way. We're that close. We haven't just started on the journey. I believe we're just around the bend. And the camels are just about to get there. Oh, I believe we're close. I do with all my heart. I believe we're close. Somebody asked me one time, "You one of them fanatics that believes the Lord's coming tomorrow?" I said, "No, I ain't that stupid." But my goodness, I know some like that, but I'm not like that. Guy said, "Good, I was hoping you wasn't that fanatical." I said, "I'm not, man. You're stupid to think that I believe Jesus is coming back tomorrow. Man, you're crazy. I believe He's coming back today." I believe He's coming back tonight. I really do. Some of you are thinking, "Well, what if He don't come back tonight? Give me something to look forward to tomorrow." It don't matter to me. When He comes back, I'm just going to look for Him every second. And if He don't come when I'm looking for Him, I'll just say I'll look for Him tomorrow. But I'm going to look for Him every second. I know you've heard the illustration, but I got to tell it. Any of you play trumpet in here? Lift your hand, let me see. I didn't say play at it. I said play it. I went up there the other day, and Richard's up there with the trumpet trying to play that thing. No, son, I knew that wasn't a rapture. The way my Bible reads, it's going to be a pretty sounding trumpet. I personally believe it's going to be Gabriel to blow that trumpet. I don't know who it is. But whoever it is, I believe the trumpet player is right on the edge. I used to be in high school band. I played clarinet and saxophone. And I could always see from where I sat in the clarinet section, I could see the trumpets. And we had a fellow named Johnny McNeely. He was the best trumpet player in the state of Georgia. His first year in the All-State Band every year, made the McDonald's Band. He was first chair in that. And don't laugh when you say the McDonald's Band, folks. They picked the best high school two out of each state in the union, and they put them in there, and they're the best there is. And he made first trumpet in that. And it was he was something else. And right before we get time for him to play a solo in a piece we were playing, you could memorize your part after a while, and I'd be memorizing my part, and I'd look over there, and I'd see Johnny getting ready for his solo. And before he'd play, he'd go. And then he'd put it up there and play. When I get thinking about the rapture, I think about whoever that is going to blow the trumpet. He's up there going, waiting for the cue, getting ready to blow, wear that clothes. And the Bible said, Rebecca said, who's that? And he said, that's your man. That's the one you're going to be married to. And Rebecca got down off the camel. Don't you know that felt good? Oh, that felt so good. And it's going to feel so good when I get down. But the best feeling about it is going to be that I'll get down off a camel into the waiting arms of Jesus. And the Bible says that Isaac simply took her into his tent. And they were happy. Jesus is going to take us and we'll be forever with Him. And we'll be happy. Won't that be great? Reckon the camel ride's worth it? It ain't so bad after all, is it? I know I must look like a fool when I do some of this stuff. But I just got to do it to show you what it means to me. It's the only way I know to do it. It's just tell you like I pictured. And I just have to be like Paul and be willing to be a fool for Christ's sake. But that's the only way I know how to relate to that. Now, some of you here tonight have been complaining about that camel ride. You've been saying it's too rough. It ain't worth it. I'm here to tell you it is. Get ready, honey. There's a blessing for you. God's ready to slip you one. I want you to know that the camel ride is one that I'm willing to take any day. And some of you here tonight hadn't even got on board yet. But I got news for you. There's a camel waiting for you. And we want to help you get on board tonight. We want to take our hands like this and let you put your foot in our hands. And we want to help you up on the camel by showing you how to know Jesus. I'm not here, folks, making a joke out of the gospel, even though I try to throw in some humor into what I preach. But it's humor that we relate to. It's not jokes. Just humor we can relate to. But I want you to know I take it seriously or I wouldn't be here tonight. I got 3 more kids at home that I'd rather be with than to be here if it wasn't for how seriously I take the gospel. We brought little Wes with us, but we got 3 older ones there at home that I miss so bad my heart's about to break. But Jesus wants us here to tell you about the camel ride. And to tell you, we want you to get on board. Last night we saw about 10 folks saved, and most of them were adults. And I know that God's Spirit's really moving when adults get right with God. Because they're the hardest ones to get to move, because they seem like, they seem to say, oh, it'd be silly for me to do that. I'm a man. You're not a man unless you've given your life to God. Man, a sissy will follow the world, but a man will stand for God. I want you on board tonight. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I wonder how many of you in here would say to me, preacher, I'm a Christian. Jesus lives in my heart, and I raise my hand in testimony to that right now. Would you lift your hand? Let me see. Thank you. You can put them down now. How many would say, preacher, I couldn't raise my hand that time and say that I'm saved, that I'm a Christian, and I want you to pray for me. Would you lift your hand? Let me see it. And I'll pray for you. God bless you, ma'am. Thank God for your honesty. Anybody else? Preacher, I couldn't raise my hand that time and say that I'm saved. Pray for me. Lift your hand. Let me see it. Anybody else? Anybody else? I believe there's more than one person lost here tonight. I've got to believe that. God bless you, ma'am. Thank God for your honesty. Anybody else? Lift your hand. Let me see it. Preacher, I couldn't raise my hand and say that I'm saved. God bless you, ma'am. Thank God for your honesty. There's 3 adults already. Anybody else? Anybody else? Preacher, I couldn't raise my hand. God bless you, young man. Thank God for you. Anybody else? There was an older teenager. Thank God for that. Anybody else? Preacher, I couldn't raise my hand that time and say that I'm saved. Pray for me. Lift your hand. Let me see it. Come on, why do you hesitate? Lift it up and let me see it. I want to pray for you tonight. Anybody else? Lift your hand. Any others? any others. Father, in Jesus' name, you saw the hands. You know the hearts. Give them the courage to come. That lady near the back, give her the courage to come. This lady on my right, give her the courage to come. This one in front of me here, give her the courage to come. This young man, give him the courage to come tonight and say, I want Jesus in my life. I want to give my life to Jesus as Lord of my life. I come as Rebecca, willing to listen, willing to respond, and willing to serve. Give him the courage to let go of that old life like Rebecca did and say, I'll go with him. They've listened to Satan long enough. Satan, these are no longer yours. I wrest them from you by the power of the Holy Spirit and by the blood of Jesus. I claim these for Christ. And I rebuke you, Satan. Let go of them. You've had them long enough. Now, Father, by the power of the Holy Spirit, draw them to Christ. In Jesus' name.
Say you could do more if you just had talent and were given a place to begin. A place you could tell all the world about Jesus, would tell it to a few close friends. I'd be terrific if I could just travel and had a lot of money to spend. I wish I were a natural leader, tell it to a few close friends.
You can tell it right where you live, and you got Jesus to recommend. You can tell it to the world at your doorstep, just tell it to a few close friends. You can tell it right where you live, and you got Jesus to recommend. You can tell it to the world at your doorstep, just tell it to a few close friends.
Well, now I'm ready to set this whole world on fire. And I'm going to, just as soon as my ship comes in.
Why don't you get your act together and tell it to a few close friends?
Don't worry about the questions and problems. Let the Spirit show you where and when. Relax and let love do the talking, and start with just a few close friends. You can tell it. Tell it right where you live, and you got Jesus to recommend. You can tell it to the world at your doorstep, just tell it to a few close friends. You can tell it right where you live, and you got Jesus to recommend. You can tell it to the world at your doorstep, just tell it to a few close friends. Just tell it to a few close friends. Just tell it to a few close friends.
I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I onward bound, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's tabled land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. My heart has no desire to stay where doubts arise and fears dismay. Though some may dwell where these abound, my prayer, my aim is higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's tabled land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's tabled land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Did you know that we have an enemy? You know who he is? Oh, you know him, don't you? Because he's all around us. He's seeking to devour whomever he might. But what does the Bible say? The Bible says that greater is he that is in us, me, than he that is in the world. We are more than conquerors through him who loved us so. It's only by the blood of Jesus Christ that we have victory over the devil and sin. So, look out, Satan, look out. Because I come to you in the name of the Lord.
You better look out, Satan, look out. You better look out, Satan, look out. For I come to you in the name of the Lord. So look out, Satan, look out. You better look out, Satan, look out. You better look out, Satan, look out. For I come to you in the name of the Lord. So look out, Satan, look out.
Well, they threw old Daniel in the lion's den. Satan thought he had him that night. But you should have seen old Satan's face when Daniel came out without a bite.
You better look out, Satan, look out. You better look out, Satan, look out. For I come to you in the name of the Lord. So look out, Satan, look out.
Well, they sent little David out to fight the giant. Goliath laughed as he pulled out his sword. But as the stone went sailing, you could hear David say, I come to you in the name of the Lord.
You better look out, Satan, look out. You better look out, Satan, look out. For I come to you in the name of the Lord. So look out, Satan, look out.
Well, I'm no match for the devil. No, on my own I'd fail every time. But greater is he that is in me. So I say, Satan, get thee behind.
You better look out, Satan, look out. You better look out, Satan, look out. For I come to you in the name of the Lord. So look out, Satan, look out. You better look out, Satan, look out. You better look out, Satan, look out. For I come to you in the name of the Lord. So look out, Satan, look out.
My wife, I want you to know I love my wife. I really do. And there's only one thing Barry said this week that I disagreed with. He said that his wife was the most beautiful in the auditorium. I'm glad you think that, brother. That's right. No. You haven't heard what I'm going to say yet. Huh? My wife is the most beautiful woman in the auditorium. And that's not competition. That's not competition. That's unity in the Lord Jesus, right? Because she's part of me. Jack Taylor says in one of his books, when we get married, the two have become one. The problem is which one? Huh? He's talking about one in the Lord, isn't he? That's right. One in the Lord. And she's part of me and I'm part of her. And I just want her to step from behind that piano because she's always behind the piano. And we've got a soundtrack rigged up there and she's playing for herself is what she's doing with a few other things. But I want her, I'll give this one to you. I want her to just come and, yeah. She says, well, what do I do with my feet? You know, she doesn't do this an awful lot, but I want her to sing this song for you. No man condemns you.
As I was thinking a while ago about this song, I thought the words, no man condemns you. And then I think of how Satan, you know, comes in. When I fail, and I know I've blown it, he'll bring that back up to me. And when I've confessed it to the Lord, then I don't have to worry about what I've done if I've confessed it to him. And old Satan will come and he'll say, oh, boy, you really blew it. See how you messed up? And I'll say, oh, Lord, I really did. Do you remember that? And the Lord says, no, I don't remember that. And when we were with Jack Taylor a few weeks ago, he said this saying. He said, you know, we're in a battle, a fight, he termed it. He says, we're in a fight. And he says, the secret is this fight's fixed. And I thought, oh, wow, that's great. So when I thought about singing this song, I said, well, that, you know, I have to remember that. But once I've confessed that sin to God, he says, I don't remember it, and I don't condemn you. Just live a victorious life, and you don't have to be weighted down with the sin that you've committed in the past if it's confessed to him. And he says, I forgive you, and I don't condemn you.
Never, never. condemns you, and neither does he. He only loves you.
Sweetheart, that's pretty. Are you free? Huh? Are you really? Are you aware of it? Each day, every moment in your life? The scripture says, so far as the east is from the west, that's how far He's removed our sin from us. No man condemns you. Free in the Lord. I was 16 when I invited Christ into my life. There were some years that I was accountable to the Lord, but I'm grateful that He hung on with me, continued to reveal Himself to me, and finally one day I invited Him in. That's when my life really began. I'm 35 years old now. I was saved when I was 16. I'm a 19-year-old teenager in the Lord. Got a lot of growing up to do, and I'm enjoying every moment of it. But when I found Jesus, that was really the first day of my life with the Lord Jesus. Once my life was filled with deep despair. Many were the rain clouds hanging there. I dreaded each tomorrow. I knew they'd bring me sorrow and a troubled mind, a burdened soul. Then I found Jesus. One day I found the Savior. When I found Jesus, I asked Him to forgive. Now no more rain clouds, for He gave my heart rainbows. When I found Jesus, I just began to live. The things I started out in life to gain, things I thought would bring me wealth and fame, well, the only thing they brought, when I had reached my goal, just a troubled mind, a burdened soul. Then I found Jesus. One day I found the Savior. When I found Jesus, I asked Him to forgive. Now no more rain clouds, for He gave my heart rainbows. When I found Jesus, I just began to live. When I found Jesus, I just began to live. When I found Jesus, I just began to live. To live.
I believe.
This world remains the same. Empires have been built and fallen. Only time has made a change. Nation against nation, a and brother against brother. There's men so filled with hatred, they're killing one another. And over half the world is starving, while a banner of decency is torn. Debating over disarmament, killing children before they're born. And fools who march to win the right to justify their sin. Every nation that has fallen is falling from within. Yet in the midst of this darkness, there is a hope, a light that burns. This little child, the King of Kings, someday will return.
And I believe, and I will always sing this little child. And I believe, and I will always sing this little child. He is the King of Kings.
And who would have thought that this little child was who the prophet said he would return to judge this world, the living and the dead. Well, can't you see that long ago, so very far away, this little child, our only hope, and I believe, and I will always sing this little child. He is the Son of Kings.
Bible tells us that grace of Jesus Christ is sufficient. He is enough.
Lord, I see so much in me that I just can't get right. Things that weigh me down each day and steal my sleep at night. In your word I read about a peace I wish I felt. How can you forgive me when I can't forgive myself?
It was enough,
the blood of your shed.
enough
to set me free. It was enough that you died for me. He said, child, you know it hurts me so to see you struggle on, striving to be good enough till all your strength is gone. You're worn out by the fear that you'll go just one sin too far. Don't you know that only I could make you what you are?
It was enough,
the blood that I shed. It was enough that I rose from the dead.
It was enough.
Is there more I could do? It was enough.
It was enough.
The life that I gave. It was enough that I conquered the grave.
It was enough
that I paid for your sin. It was enough. The blood that I shed. It was enough that I rose from the dead.
It was enough.
Nothing more I could do. It was enough that I died for you.
And died to a world that was lost. He gave
I'll be giving my heart just for him, for him.